You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So my family is really worried about my granddad's latest addiction to Viagra. Grandma's taking it particularly hard.
Oh, God.
Nice X-rated one. To, you know.
Oh, no.
The great thing about that was you both had the same reaction at exactly the same time, which on Zoom, you're never sure if it's going to sync up, you know, with the slight delay. But from here, that was perfect.
But I also knew where that joke was going. So, yeah. And also, yeah. I've got the bias. It's been a while because I obviously missed the last one. Well, I was there, but I wasn't there.
Wait, but no one knows for sure if you are here for this one because, you know, we used the soundboard last time. This could be soundboard. Yeah.
Did we use the soundboard? Wait, what?
Did we? I don't know. I've forgotten which was soundboard and which was Lawrence, actually. They were so compelling and so similar.
Wow. I'm not sure how to take that, mate. You do know I haven't scored your joke yet. Are you sure you want to? You don't want to retract that?
Don't take it like Grandma did in the joke. You know?
Right, you're losing the point for that straight away.
Oh, come on. That's a separate thing to the joke. Are these race stewards over here losing? Jeez. All right, come on. Before I lose any more points.
Okay, I'm going to give that an 8.2.
Okay. Wait a sec. So you're saying... Did you dock me a point?
I did dock you a point. So yeah, you would.
But that was a 9.2.
Yeah,
and then I was doubly funny, and I lost points.
Well, you describe yourself as doubly funny. I never said you were doubly funny.
Well, we'll let the listeners, our dear listeners, decide.
It was brave. It must be said, it was brave, which I think deserved points. But because you then got cocky, I side with him. There was a penalty as well.
I was cocky. I was just. I mean, well. In the context of the joke. Maybe it was. Anyway, before I lose any more points, let's crack on.
Oh yeah, it's my go. welcome, chaps, to another edition of the Pad Hoc. You've got me, Lawrence Barretto. You've got Nate Saunders from ESPN, and you've got Chris Medlin from Racer. And for a unique way of doing this pod, we are all in different spots in the world. I've made it back to the UK. Nate's on holiday in America, and Chris Medlin is still in Abu Dhabi. I feel bad for him.
I've got a nice hotel room. I'm still working. It's all good. We've put, I think, 9 hours between us. Is that right, Nate? Is it? What time is it with you?
Yeah. So it's, I'm on East Coast. So it's 20 past 1 p.m.
Yeah.
So it's just gone past 9 for you, or 10 for you?
Just gone 10, yeah. 20 past 10 p.m.
Look at that commitment. Yeah. So for people wondering why Medes are still in Abu Dhabi, he's not like one of those troops that kind of came out of the Japanese forest 30 years after the war thinking it was still on. He knows the race isn't on. He knows the season. Okay. You stayed out for testing, which is now finished.
Yeah, and you fly yesterday. Out.
That's right. And you got a pretty cool trip coming up. Tell us about that.
I'm going on my honeymoon tomorrow
night. Yeah.
I'm doing is I'm locking myself away in a dark room until then, just trying to do a honeymoon's worth amount of work ahead of time to then file it to everybody so that I can actually take the time off. We were talking about this off recording before. And it's the perils of being a freelancer.
So you're doing 2 weeks' work, for clarity for listeners. Medlin is doing 2 weeks' work in 24 hours. So this is the most Medlin thing to do.
Not quite. I didn't leave myself 24 hours. That is pretty massive. Like, I've been doing it in advance for the last kind of like 5 or 6 days, but it still bottlenecks up to the point where you think, oh, it's like 2-3 days at it. And it's never the case. Other things come up. Stuff takes longer, you get tired, whatever it may be. Funny enough, it's been quite a brutal end to the season, so I haven't been feeling fresh to do it either. So Yeah, it's got there's a long way to go right now till I leave here to get on a plane, but I will get there.
And I like the fact that we have taken some valuable time from Medlands 24 hours in hell.
This is keeping me sane.
Okay, that's good.
Are you in the W, Medis?
I am in the W.
So does that mean you can see the racetrack from your window?
No, I can see the other way. Which at one point I thought was good because I'm here while F2 testing is going on. And obviously they're louder cars than F1. And I wanted a lie-in this morning just to finally get some sleep for the first time in about 3 weeks. So I didn't set an alarm today. And if I was facing the track, I'd have been woken up by them at 9 a.m., having got to bed at like 3 a.m. But the direction I'm facing is where the bars are in the Yas Marina. And the first night I was here, and I was shattered, and I went to bed being like, yeah, I need a good night's sleep now at like 1. And they kept the music going till 3 because it's loud. So, yeah, I am. It's now.
Well, we sound old.
I know, don't we? We are.
3 a.m.? That's a whole 3 hours after it should have ended. Like, that's outrageous.
Yeah, apart from when we're the ones that are in there enjoying it and we're like, so early.
What? Sorry? Swirly.
So early. Have you not heard that? Is Peter Kay? Or an attempt at
it? Oh, no. Well, I think I may have done, but I didn't hear it. Maybe the rendition was slightly different to the one I remember.
Yeah, it was funny, for starters, so...
Okay, so and Nate, you're in the States. You said the East Coast. Now I need to know where you are because you are wearing a woolly hat, but you've also got a t-shirt on. So I don't really understand what temperature is.
To be honest with you, I just put the hat on before we came on the show because I was like, you know, I was very aware that
your hair was messy.
Out of the yeah, exactly. My hair was a complete mess. I was like, I've got hat hair, so I'll put it on. Now I'm in Brooklyn, which is actually very cold at the moment. And I missed Abu Dhabi, as you guys know. I went to Tampa. In Florida for Thanksgiving with some close friends. Pretty warm there. And then I came to Brooklyn, flew to LaGuardia on Monday wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And I put a hoodie on, got an Uber. And the guy genuinely in the Uber picked me up and looked at me and said, where are you coming from, Florida? And I was like, yep. And everyone else around was wearing jeans and very, very big coats. And I was very cold. So it's chilled my bones a little bit. But yeah, to be honest with you, my room's kind of nice room temperature. If you will, but no, I mean it's fine. The hat is purely for look. To be honest with you, it's purely purely visual for you guys. But yeah,
I appreciate the effort.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn and I'm in a very nice hotel, but I'm right opposite very very busy overpass, which is very very loud all evening. But I love New York. I know that you guys came here earlier in the year as well when we did the Red Bull launch. Not quite as cold. If you guys remember, it was freezing. Went shopping for gloves on that trip because it was so cold. If you went outside and your hands were out of your pockets, they were ice cold. It's not quite as bad as that, but I walked yesterday into the wind and it was pretty extreme.
That was a long time ago. And yet it was this year.
It was the start of the year. I know. Mm. Like, that was, you know, Max Verstappen had only won like 30 races back then. You know,
they're not wrong either. 35, I think, wasn't it? Like,
35.
And now he's ahead of Sebastian Vettel in a year.
In a whole year. There was I saw a stat that, like, a graphic going around from the weekend where during the race, which, as I mentioned to you guys, I watched kind of, I had it on in Tampa, but, you know, I was hanging with my friends and kind of not really paying a huge amount of attention. But there was a graphic that popped up and it said, since the start of last year, Max Verstappen has won more races than Fernando Alonso has won in 20 years. And I was like, that's absolutely savage, you know, because he's won 24? So he's obliterated that in 2 years.
No, Alonso's got 32.
Oh, 32, come sorry. On. Yeah.
But you're right, yeah. How many's Max got in those 2 years then? So he got 19 this year. What did he get last year?
Was it 15?
15,
he broke the record.
34. Wow.
Which is crazy. Crazy.
Unbelievable.
Pretty unbelievable.
Now, seeing as we're both being wild and we're in random countries, Lawrence, what have you been up to?
I'm back home. Sabrina and I went to buy a Christmas tree today.
Ooh.
Nice. I was in the office yesterday. We were filming what we were describing as a rules of engagement with effectively a health and safety video for an internal use in Formula One. So I was in Biggin Hill yesterday wearing some high vis. And today was my first
That's
day
the
off
glamour
and...
of the job right there.
Yeah, I was going to say,
this is the job people just don't see.
This is, and this is what the paddock's all about. I'm telling you about the time that Lawrence wore high vis health and safety day and then went to buy a Christmas tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Today was my first day off in, I can't remember how long. So it was quite nice to have a day off. It does feel like that, to be honest. I slept 12 hours last night. That was brilliant. And then I've got to go back to work. Yeah, it was incredible.
You slept for 12 hours. Oh my word. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
So I actually oddly feel worse for it because I don't really know what time zone I'm on. But
I think that's the biggest thing with the travel that people don't see is that, like, for days after, you're kind of just guessing as you go, like, how much to sleep, and then you're just at the mercy of how much you do sleep. So being in Tampa, and I really felt for you guys being in Abu Dhabi, because I was still struggling from the Vegas time zone shift and everything. I was struggling to sleep all the way into last weekend. And that was having just flown, you know, I've changed time zone again, but really, you know, I'm on holiday. It's not a huge thing of like, I've got to get up at this time, whatever. But I was still really struggling to sleep. And I could not imagine how you guys had done the time zone shift that Meadows mentioned earlier, you know, going 9 hours ahead effectively, and then going back to like a European race schedule. Like, I couldn't even get my head around, you know, how that worked. So you guys must be absolutely dead on your feet.
Well, we're going to do a Vegas kind of episode at some point when I'm not rushing to do so much work and we've got chill time back at all together in the UK next month. But from Vegas to Abu Dhabi, it was a 12-hour time zone change. And obviously the Vegas schedule was weird hours at night. So it felt like more than that. But you're right. No one then says, like, you come back and obviously, as Lawrence said, today's his first day off. So you were working before. But no one says, oh, you don't need to come in until you wake up. They say, no. You know, your working hours are at 9 a.m. or whatever. You just have to get up when you're, even if you've not slept, because your body clock isn't working. You don't get weeks to recorrect it. So it is, that bit's tough. But welcome to the... I can't think of a funny term, but for the pad hoc complaining. The mad hoc.
I like it. Yeah. It's not quite the sad hoc yet. It's just the mad hoc.
But the season is over, boys. The season's over. How do you feel about that?
Now it's the sad hoc.
Oh my God.
For me, it's the glad hoc. I think the season was too long. And by the end of the year, you know, once Max has wrapped it up and that's scheduled at the end. And again, I'm talking to somebody who missed the final race. I didn't do it like you guys did. Leaving Vegas, I was like, I don't want to talk about Formula One other than with you lovely people, obviously. But I didn't want to engage, you know, my brain was like, I'm frazzled with it. So I think it's good to take some time off. I love NFL, as you guys know. One of the great things with NFL is you have a really packed season for four or five months. You have the Super Bowl and then there's nothing for about middle of February in terms of there's draft and there's free agency, but in terms of actual gameplay, there's nothing until August, and that's only preseason friendlies. The first game is September, so you have this huge chunk of time, and I think it just builds the anticipation again. So when you get back to the season, you know, it's been so long since you saw someone win the Super Bowl. We were just talking about it before we started recording, didn't we? It's like, what, 87 days till testing starts, which sounds like a lot until you actually kind of you think about that, and there's launches before then, there's all that other stuff. So, I think it's good to get away from it for a little bit, but maybe that's just me. There's glad hoc. You guys have had a bit of time to think of your own something hoc now. So don't let me down.
Bad hoc.
What'd you say?
Bad hoc.
Actually what you said there, if you think, if it was a normal schedule between races, so you'd have one weekend off, then that takes you into the first weekend of December, or the second weekend of December, sorry. So then 2 weeks after that is Christmas, and you know, everyone's off then, aren't they? Generally, like, schedules are disrupted and not many other sporting events going on. There's certain things do it, but in Europe, like soccer, they have a winter break and that sort of thing. And then you're right, then it's January. Then you're talking 4 weeks till car launches and start the season. So, when you've put it like that, I'm like, ugh. I'm just very keen to go on holiday, to be honest. Haven't had one like for about 18 months, which is not like a huge get out your tiny violins, because I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that haven't had a holiday in years, and you know, it's been a tough time for people saving money and things. But just really do want a bit of switch off time, and it's been a bit of a brutal end to the year. But at the same time, I think there's part of me that's actually really keen for next year because of how dominant Red Bull were this year and how how close to good it is. Like, there's so many teams that could be good. Yeah, you know, McLaren, Aston, Ferrari, and Merck. One of them, just one of them, needs to get on Max's level. And if that's Merck and we get Hamilton versus Verstappen next year, it's going to be awesome. But when you've just done a whole year of 19 of the 22 being won by Max, and you start genuinely towards the end of the year just going, well, Max wins. It almost wasn't boring anymore. It was just ignored. It's like, yeah, of course, Max wins. That's where I was like, okay, we need someone to get into this fight.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I think that's how they get you, Metas. I'm going into next year with zero expectation.
Yeah, me too.
And then actually, I'm just literally going to go in thinking we're going to have the same year as this year. I think that's the smartest thing to do. But I hope obviously you're right. But Red Bull, the issue with it, the big issue with it is Red Bull have also been building their car for next year and have probably been doing that for a long, long time. Well, we know they have, right? They've spent like half the year where they've switched resources around. So they'll have to make a big misstep to, I think, open the door for other people, which could happen. But yeah, maybe come like February, I'll be a bit more optimistic about it. But I like the optimism. There's no... I can't think of any hock to go with that. You're optimistic.
Exciting hock?
No, that's what?
Mate, that's dreadful. Dreadful.
What is that?
I've used all my best work already, so we're just we're getting to the end of the year before I have a reset. A refresh.
Yeah. When was your best work, by the way?
Yeah. I think you're in dire need of one after that abysmal display. Of trying to hock something.
Save yourself. Fair. Come on. You need to come up with one now.
Well, I was going to go hap hock, as in happy hock.
I don't think you understand how this game works, mate. No. You've got to change
one letter.
The first letter, and it's going to stay the same as pad hock. I feel like it's a really simple concept. Yes, there's a finite amount of letters. You've got to be creative. Hap hock. I mean, that's... That's genuinely, that could be worse than the other one you came up with, you know?
He's gone. He's delivered.
I can't do it.
We'll move on. Go on.
You've got something rad hock. Yes.
We'll be a bit more cool next year. You want the Russian Grand Prix back? You could be Vlad Hock.
No. I'm just
trying to point out there was plenty
going to be designing things. It could be CAD hock.
Nice. Like... But it's got to be capped up CAD.
Yeah, CAD hock. Like,
yeah, but the pad hock is capped up.
No, not every letter, though.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Right, let's move on from this.
Three of us and there's no like female representation. Lad hock.
Yes, like it.
Apologies for that. Anyway, come on, Lawrence. What was even the question in the first place?
I can't remember what the question. What was the question, Nate?
I don't really remember too much. Was there a question? I was too distracted by your aforementioned awful attempts at.
Yes. Okay. All right. You've given me enough questions. Well,
I think it was how do you feel now the season's over?
Oh yeah. That was it.
I feel good. I feel happy. I think I'm glad that we've completed the year. I feel like I've had a great year. I feel like I'm very tired and not thinking about next year. So when Meda started talking about starting to get excited about next year, I'm not in that spot yet. I'm not in a position where I feel like I can think about next year. I need to just get to Christmas, enjoy these next few weeks, hopefully catch up with you boys and not talk about Formula One. And then when we have the turn of the year, then I'll crash straight into planning for the rest of the year. But I feel December, I'm going to coordinate off and separate myself from anything other than Formula One. And then hopefully get the love back by the time I get to January.
Barreto's actually drawing a little square box that he's coordinating off his December in.
Shame people can't see. Shame we're not live in Austin. So people can see this.
Oh, what a day.
Okay, so we'll check back in.
That was one of my highlights.
That was top. A top part of the year. We'll check back in with you in January then, Barreto, to see if you're actually excited for the year again.
Yes, exactly that. I will do some bold predictions on January 1st, and that will signal my excitement for the rest of the year.
Okay. Well, we've got that to look forward to, everybody. Two miserable old bastards. Who, with his brave call, you could say it's the Nad Hoc.
Oh.
It's a ballsy call. A ballsy call to say someone could...
Ahmedis was disappointed by that name.
Yeah, well, I like what he was looking for, but...
I wasn't looking for them. Come on.
Anyway, I was going to follow that up with actually saying, Barreto, I felt like you this time last year. I could not consider the following season for weeks. Just couldn't do it. Maybe I'll actually hit that. Maybe I haven't. I don't think I've wound down yet after the end of the season because I've been here for testing and stuff. So I haven't.
And you're still literally in Abu Dhabi. So your brain is like still out there. Yeah.
Now, we were going to put Nate on the spot here as someone who didn't watch the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix properly. And he's going to have to try and do a live one of these with limited knowledge.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm happy to. And I watched the race, as I said, but the usual in-depth way that I'm famous for watching and, you know, absorbing these races. Yeah, it's probably my calling card. It's just how in-depth I follow these things. Okay, so usually I do like a little intro, but that's usually just to buy me time. So as soon as you hit, Medis has got a timer, I'm going to go. I'm literally going to riff this. Usually I record it. So
if you've only got 1 minute to spare, want to know who finished when and where, sit back, relax, because we got you. Here's Nate with the 60-second review.
Okay, so first position, we know all about that. Second position, Charles Leclerc. Leclerc? I've said his name wrong already. Great start. George Russell in third place. Sergio Perez was fourth. He was second, though, wasn't he? And then there was some shenanigans at the end. The McLaren boys, fifth and sixth. Fernando Alonso in seventh. Big turnaround for him. Yuki Tsunoda. What a lad in seventh position. Lewis Hamilton. What's he doing down there in ninth position? Lance Stroll with a point. Hello. That doesn't happen very often. Danny Ric in 11th. Travis Kelce's new team, Alpine, they've got a bit of a blank space next to their name or something about Taylor Swift because they didn't score any points. Alex Albon in 14th. Nico Hülkenberg, pretty good for Haas in 15th. Logie Sarge, down the order. Guan Yu Zhou, one of 55 pronunciations of his name I've heard this year, 17th. Sainz didn't finish, that was sad. Bottas, with his ass cheeks in the seat, didn't finish. And Magnussen, bringing up the rear, which could have been Bottas, and that's time. A lot of rear jokes there about Bottas. You know, apologies to everyone. You know, that wasn't the most high energy one ever.
I quite enjoyed the way you just read through the results of the first half and then still got Yuki Tsunoda's position wrong. That was probably the highlight.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I'm going to, I've already in my head come up with a new way to do those next year. So we'll start. I know. It'll still be 60 seconds. It'll still be a review, but I'm just going to do it differently.
French.
Well, when it calls for it. But that race, I think, highlighted all of our excitement for the race for second position in the championship, which, as I was telling you guys off camera, I asked my friend asked me during the race, like, so what's on the line here? I was like, well, Max has won the championship. So he's like, okay. And I said, Mercedes and Ferrari are fighting for second. And he was like, oh, cool. Like, what do they get if they finish second? I was like, well, they just get more money than the other team. They looked at me like waiting to be like, you know, do they qualify for a like Champions League or something? You know, like in soccer and in football. Sorry, I'm in America, land of soccer. And yeah, he just looked at me and was like, oh, but and he said, didn't you say they had a cost cap anyway? And I was like, yeah. So he's like, oh, okay. So the money matters. I was like, yeah, it does to them. And then he heard how excited the commentator was getting. And he was just looking at it like, I don't understand. So, but that's always the way, right? Once the championship's done, the fight afterwards is. Well, here's a quick question for you guys before we go. How interested do you guys get for that, all of that stuff about second and third? Because I've got to be honest with you, I don't find it that. I know, you know, I find it interesting from a journalistic point of view, but really, I struggle with it. I really struggle with it. And I don't know. I think it's over-egged by F1 in a way that makes it feel unnatural. And maybe that's the reason.
I find it interesting when it's actually playing out on track. So like Leclerc trying to let Checo go to see if he could get the 5 seconds ahead of George and that sort of thing, when they're trying something different and it's added a weird dynamic to the race, then that's cool. But most of the time, no. Like, and it the thing is, as well, as soon as the flag drops, it's not like, oh my God, like, Ferrari haven't finished second, it's Mercedes, and there's this huge, massive fallout. It's just like, okay, fine. So they've got to, you know, spend 10 million of sponsor money that Mercedes can stick in the bank. You know, they turned a huge profit last year, Mercedes. It doesn't make a difference to them. So, I don't get overly hyped by that either. But I just like the way it sometimes affects the racing. I think that can be quite cool. And I think the drivers, you know, a bit more ego involved if they're trying to beat someone to a position. The ones that get it are happy. The ones that don't tell you that they didn't care.
Do you think if you asked like Lewis Hamilton, take away the years you won the championship, which position did you finish every season? Do you think he'd know?
No way.
Obviously, no, because he finished second. Yeah, but like this year and last year. Well, that's it. Yeah. So like those years he would. But again, that's because he was in a championship fight. As soon as you take him out of that, like if you said to him, where did you finish in 2009 or 2011, 2012? Well, 2012, he was kind of close, I guess. So, same with 2010.
Know when he didn't win and when he came second. He'll know when he won and when he came second. He won't know anything else.
Exactly.
Because he just doesn't care. And that's not a bad thing, I don't think, because he's a champion, right? So he just literally cares about winning.
And they should all be like type battles. 100%.
But
I quite like the fight for the constructors further down, because I think you're right in that Mercedes and Ferrari don't care about the extra 10 million, 15 million, whatever, up front. But I do think the teams further back, there's teams like Alfa Romeo, Haas, they aren't pushing the cost cap. So actually, their money, the millions that are kind of on the line for one position to the next, really actually does mean something to them. And you could see how happy Williams were in Abu Dhabi, even though their fight kind of, they weren't in the fight per se, because they didn't have a car that put them in a spot to fight for points on track in Abu Dhabi, but they were obviously in the fight with AlphaTauri for P7, and you could see how happy they were and what it means to them to get P7 from a morale perspective. They haven't developed that car since Canada in race 8, and they've still managed to hold on and beat three teams behind them who've been updating. Like, AlphaTauri brought an update to the final race of the season, so did Alfa Romeo. That rarely happens in Formula 1 these days. So I think for a team like Williams, I think it means a great deal for them. I'd agree with both of you that drivers don't care about where they finish if they're not first or second. Fernando was pretty happy when I talked to him in the pen and he got P4 in the Drivers' Championship. He described it as his second best season ever behind 2012, which was another season he hadn't won the championship in. So it amuses me that his two favourite championships non-championship winning years.
That's a great Alonso quote, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we've talked about him before, but just being like, yeah, I'm pretty amazing. And actually my two best seasons are when I just didn't win the championship because the car wasn't good enough, you know?
Yeah, he made the point, I think, that because, you know, the team finished fifth, so they should be ninth and tenth in the driver's championship, and he's fourth, so it must be special. But very quickly, because we're doing this on a timer, and I want to add a quick story from Abu Dhabi that people might not have seen that I tweeted nonstop last night about. But there was huge drama where a Mercedes team member was thrown in the marina on Sunday night, and he lost his glasses and he lost his wedding ring when he went in.
Was he leaving the team? Is that why he was thrown in the marina?
I'm not sure. I think he's actually just pushed in when they'd thrown someone else in, to be honest. So he was then, his glasses were retrieved by someone diving to get them on Monday, but they went looking for the wedding ring last night. And another team member put on all the scuba gear, got a metal detector from a nearby boat, went down there with a torch because it was after dark, because they could only do it after running had ended because they have jobs, and couldn't find it. Like, spent over an hour in the water, like, trying to get it, but silty and murky and just couldn't find it. So it was, honestly, I was tweeting about it and it was getting so much interest and following. I think everyone really wanted this ring to be found. Anyway, this morning, the boat owner who'd given them the metal detector went back there himself in daylight with a bigger metal detector, spent 2 hours diving, and under 15 centimeters of silt, found the wedding ring. And it's now safe for the Mercedes team member to bring back to the UK to give to the guy who lost it. So it's been found. Great story.
That's incredible. That is awesome, actually. That was a very good feel-good way to end the year. And I you know who the most glad person in that whole story would be? Obviously, the guy who got his wedding ring back. The guy who pushed him in. I'd have been like, okay, shit. Do I have to buy you a new one? Because, you know, I'd feel there's a good case to be made that he may have had to. So, yeah, great story all around.
Well, chaps, I better call it there because I know, Nate, you've got to go sightseeing. Medis, you've got 2 weeks worth of work to do. And I have got to go and, well, I don't know, go and have dinner, I guess. It's been a pleasure as always. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Medis' work on race.com, and my work on F1.com. And we promise we'll do this again very, very soon.
With Vegas stories.
Vegas time. Bye.
Podcast Network.